Well, good morning, everyone. Rich and Barbara Meese here. This is a fifth in a series of Digging Deeper into Disc practitioner calls. And today we have the most important subject of our disc styles. And of course, that is our Lord and Savior Jesus. And in a moment, Ken Voges is going to be sharing with us what we know about our Master's style and how he perfectly modeled loving people. So it's a great session, and we're really looking forward to our time together. As we begin this morning, I wanted to read our daily devotional. Again, God has just given us a wonderful devotional that fits in so well with our topic, of course, and it's entitled The Hands of Jesus, and it reads, "Take a moment to consider the importance of your hands. What do you do with your hands on a regular basis? Through them, we interact with the people and the world around us. But our hands don't move on their own. They move at the impulse of our hearts and our heads. Look at Jesus' hands. They bear the marks of his sacrificial and selfless service for you and me. He sends us to serve in his name today. What marks do your hands bear? And who will experience Jesus' touch through you today?" The scripture verse is from John 20, 20 to 21. "After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you.'" In our prayer this morning, Jesus, let the image of your hands transform my leadership motivations and desires and perspectives. I want my hands to increasingly move in concert with yours. So, Lord Jesus, we're so thankful for this time we can share together. I thank you for each individual that's on this call with us. I thank you for how you've uniquely created us and have asked us to bear the marks of your hands as we do your work in this world. We commit this call to you. We commit Ken to you, Lord. We just pray for clarity and wisdom as we consider the wonderful example of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the gift of salvation through your name and your blood, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. I think we've had one more person join us, if you don't mind sharing who you are. This is Rich Meese.
Hi, good morning. This is Valerie LaRue with Johnny and Friends.
Hi, Valerie. Nice to have you back with us. Remind us of your top style again, Valerie.
Are you a DI?
I am an I.
That's right.
Wonderful. Thank you for joining us. Well, welcome, everybody. And Ken, we are so excited to have you share, I know, probably your favorite topic about Jesus and his behavioral style. So welcome, Ken Voges.
Okay, well, it's an honor and a privilege to talk to you guys, and the only negative I have right now is the fact that I can't see your faces. I work so much better when I can see people, and the challenge is here is I can't do that, so I'll do the best I can here. I think that what would be helpful, and one of the things that I did was to go ahead and send a one-page outline, and I hope you have that, where it says digging deeper into the disc style and Jesus' behavior. It would be very, very helpful in following what I'm having to say if you have that in front of you. The other thing that would be very, very helpful, if you have printed out the two pages in the biblical disc, page 32 and 33, I think, you know, that will help you and with regard to following what I'm saying today. As we start, I just need to say, as I've presented this many, many, many times, the number one question people ask, okay, you got biblical desk, what was Jesus' profile? And when that happens, I stop things and I said, let me tell you about him. And he's really, without an incredible, my most awe-inspiring biblical behavioral style. And I like to go ahead and start, and you'll need to do this. You'll need to go ahead and start answering that question by going to a passage of scripture, Philippians 2, 6 through 8. That is where you go to as your cornerstone verse to answer this question. And Paul writes, and I'm paraphrasing very, very simply here. It says, who, being in the very nature God, and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So you kind of put two things together. Number one, that Jesus was, without a question, according to the Apostle Paul, 100% God. You got to believe that's what he's trying to say. The other thing that's absolutely important for you to understand, he is also 100% man. And if this is true, he would have a behavioral style. But it would have been perfect, yet different in meeting the needs of those he met. You have to understand, when Jesus answered the question, what's the most important commandment? He says, love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the second is like it, love your neighbors yourself. And loving your neighbors yourself is understanding the needs of those that you meet. And Jesus did it the best. Now, I'm going to go ahead and having said that, I want you to know that I have this PowerPoint presentation that I'm talking about right now, and yet is yours to have if you want it. And one of the slides in there actually goes through a biblical scholarship on Philippians 2, 6 through 8. And you can actually do about a six session of PowerPoint a presentation on Jesus using this passage of scripture, and that outline is on this PowerPoint if you ever want it. But it is theirs for you to go ahead and study to understand what Philippians 2, 6 through 8 is all about.
Hey, Ken, now, I'm going to jump in, Ken, excuse me, right here. If you will send that to us, Ken, we'll make sure that gets up on Oasis and make sure everybody gets that.
Not a problem. I was hoping. Thank you for your interruption here, and I definitely want that for everybody to have that presentation, because if you're giving this biblical desk material, that question will come up, and you need to be able to know how to effectively answer that question. Now, what I'm also going to do is change here a little bit to give you some additional information on 20th. Century behavioral science. Behavioral science in the 20th century researched behavior using the DISC model behavior to go ahead and say, what makes a good leader? And this is their definition of it. The DISC research evidence supports the conclusion that the most effective leaders are those who know themselves, recognize the demands of the situation, and adjust or change their behavior so as to have the best chance to meet the needs of any given opportunity. Now, that has nothing to do with the Bible. It has to do with 20th century behavioral science suggesting this is what it takes to be a good leader. Now, over 30 years, I have studied leadership, and I have yet to find anybody to do it, to really fulfill what this definition is all about, except one person, and that person is Jesus Christ. And this is the part of my presentation to let you know and study Jesus' behavior and how well he did to adjust and change his behavior. If you have that handout that I have, I'm going to take you through that. Now, I'm going to give you something else. What makes the DISC behavior so incredibly unique and different than any other model that's out there is that it is designed to go ahead and define behavior by traits on four continuums. And there is a center line in that in this continuum that gives you the difference in a high and a low style. And that's what I've used to go ahead and answer the question, what is Jesus' behavior? And if you have page 32 of your biblical disc, you'll see that template of behavior on those four continuums. But what makes this different than what is in the secular tool is you have a listing of two or three traits in each of the in each of the templates there, but you have scripture references that define Jesus in there, and I'm going to go ahead and use eight case studies, and it'll be the high D, low D, high I, low I, high S, low S, high C, low C. Why do I do this? Because I want to show you the incredible difference in the behavior from a high and low style. So if, again, if you have that particular template there, then what we can do is go ahead and go through that. The first one, the high D, and what'll be talking about is the dominant style. The high D trait of the dominant style, the very top one, is unlimited and complete control in exercising authority over situations and individuals. It is total control, and we have two IDs in here, Jim and Kim. So you should understand what that trait is all about. And the case study that you have is in Luke 8, where there is a encounter of Jesus with some demons, and they were in a particular man that was totally uncontrollable. And what is interesting about this passage is that he asked who they are, and they immediately understand who Jesus is. And he says, "Jesus, you are the Son of the Most High God, and I beg you don't to go ahead and torment me." And Jesus says, "Okay, explain to me again, what is your name?" And he said, "Legion." And legion is a Roman listing of a number of troops in a military group. And it suggests 6,000. So the guy had 6,000 demons in his body, which meant that he had some serious problems. And yet the demons were totally in the control of Jesus. The dominance was Jesus was one, the demons were 6,000, and it wasn't a fair contest. He had total control of that situation, and he was able to go ahead and tell them to go ahead and leave the man, and immediately they went ahead and left. So it was an amazing situation, and I think it's probably the most important definition of what total dominance is all about. Jesus is in total control of the demons. When you go to the low style, the trait there is total submission, the complete giving up of control to fulfill somebody else's plan, desires, or wishes. And the passage that I use there is in Matthew 22, and the scene is where Jesus is going to go ahead and be arrested and be sent to the cross, and Peter decides that he is going to go ahead and protect Jesus and takes out a sword and goes ahead and strikes the slave of the high priest and cuts off his ear. And Jesus rebukes Peter with a statement, "Put your sword back in its place. All of those who take up the sword shall perish by the sword. Or do you think I cannot appeal to my Father, for he has at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels." What he's saying there is that he has available to him 72,000 angels to defend him if he chooses to, but he chooses not to. And to me, that is incredible restraint to go ahead and say, "I've got all this power." He did not limit his power at all. And he had available to him 72,000 angels, but he chose not to go ahead and use them. So you see the incredible contrast there. And it was the will of the Father to go ahead and fulfill the prophecy of going to the cross. I'm going to switch now to the high eyes and talk about something totally different, that's social interactive. And the ability to discern the needs of others with not only verbal affirmation and encouragement, but also seeking to meet the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. And the passage is in Matthew 14, and the scene has to do with the aftermath of John the Baptist being beheaded. And a large crowd showed up to where Jesus was on a very isolated place. And it says he had compassion on them and he healed the sick. And then he also go ahead and challenge the disciples. And when they ask him the question, he says, you know, you need to let these people go because there's no place to go ahead and eat. And he said, well, why don't you feed them? And he said, well, we don't have the resources to do that. But then they found 5 loaves and 2 fish, and Jesus said, that's enough. Have them sit down. And what he ended up doing is feeding 5,000 people just on a very spontaneous event. and they ate and they were satisfied, and they had 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. And the point here is, how did he do? How did he go ahead and meet their needs? Could you categorize this as a fun event? Obviously, well, it was. And he met their needs. And it was an electric moment. How do we know that it was an electric moment? So at that particular time, they wanted to go ahead and make him the king. It was a total moving of that entire crowd to go ahead and declare him king. And you know that that was not what God intended, or Christ knowing what his role was. And so what he had to do is he had to shut it down. And so you see in the low trait there, it says seeking extreme isolation, taking the time to be alone and to recharge and reflect and redirect one's energy in meeting the needs of more strategic challenges ahead. And it was something that he went ahead and did and withdrew to be about by himself, by a mountain, by himself. And immediately Jesus also made the disciples get in the boat and go ahead of him to Bethsaida, where he dismissed the crowd, and he went up to the mountainside to go ahead and pray. So the question is, how well did Jesus do in handling this situation before it got out of hand? Very, very much so. And if you are a high I, and you were in this event and you were having all these accolades coming to you, you could have taken advantage of that situation, but that's not what Jesus did. What he actually did is shut it all down and isolated himself and went alone. I'm now going to the S continuum. And the S continuum is very, very different in that it is a high trait. There is undeserved patience. That's the very top of that continuum. It's talking about patience and the production of unconditional love to an individual who has an unteachable moment. And the issue is, was there an individual who had an unteachable moment? Well, of course, the Apostle Peter went ahead and qualified, because in Mark 15, Jesus is trying to prepare the disciples for the fact that he's going to go ahead and go to the cross. And he's preparing them for the fact and giving them some good news. He's saying, you'll all fall away with me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I've been raised, I will go to you in Galilee. And what he was trying to say, hey, this is going to happen, but don't worry, I'm coming back and we'll chat about it in Galilee. And Peter declared, even if all will fall away, I will not. Of course, you know where that one went. And you have a passage in Luke where Jesus responds to him and says, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you wheat, but I prayed for you that you will not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I'll be ready to go to prison to death. And Jesus answered, I hate to tell you this, but you're going to deny me 3 times. And of course, you know what he did. But what I'm suggesting here is, on a scale of 0 to 10, how would you rate Jesus' patience with Peter? I would give him 100. He did very, very well there, and he was unable to get through, even with all that patience, to get through to Peter. And this happens when you have unteachable moments. All you can do is pray for him, and that's exactly what Jesus did. What I do here, And explaining the opposite of that, is to talk about the low strength, and that's the intense confrontation, taking aggressive action against a policy that is totally contrary to moral and religious principles. And if you're a high S, and Barbara Minor, you're a high S, and you know how difficult confrontation is. You hate it, and I do too. I hate it. But Jesus did it very well. When he entered the temple courts and driving out those who were buying and selling, he overturned the money changers' benches and very, very aggressive. And it was certainly the right thing to do. And he not only physically did it, but he gave some statement. It is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you've turned it into a den of robbers. So he did something very, very aggressive. So he could be aggressive when he wanted to be. The thing that I also like to go ahead and say to this, and this is you could characterize this as high D behavior and low S behavior, and when you put those two together, it's very aggressive. And what they do is they can go ahead and do that and says, well, there could be consequences, and Jesus says, I understand there is, but I'm going to be willing to go ahead and accept those consequences. So he was very, very much in tune with what he was doing, knowing that there would be consequences. And verse 18 talks about the fact that the chief priests and the teachers heard this and began to look for ways to kill him. So he under very clearly what he was doing. What I do here is with this particular one, with the C continuum, I go ahead and go with the low C traits first, because I want to save the best for the last, and that is the high C behavior, because it has the most powerful part of the story about Jesus' behavior. The low C traits are rebellious and defiant, taking public action to challenge and confront and offer corrections and policies that are wrong and detrimental to the health of an individual or culture. And you don't always think Jesus being rebellious and defiant. Absolutely he was. And the case study has to do with a passage in Mark 3, where Jesus went to the synagogue and a man was there with a shriveled hand. And some were looking for reasons to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. They were just looking at stuff to go ahead and confront him. And Jesus is up to the task. He said to the man with the shriveled hand, stand up in front of everyone. And then Jesus asked him, what is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they remained silent. And he looked at them in anger and deeply distressed over their stubborn hearts. And he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he reached it out, and his hand was completely restored. And the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians so that they might kill Jesus. And my question is, how would you rank Jesus' emotional intensity? I would give him a 10 on that. So he could be very, very, very intense, particularly when there was a hardness of heart, and he did that very effectively in healing this man in front of the Pharisees, and knowing that it had consequences. Saving the best for the last is high C traits. The sacrificial compliance to a plan, giving up one's ultimate rights for the benefit of someone else. And one of the things that high C's are, once they get with the program, they're willing to go ahead and go to completion of whatever it takes to go ahead and do it, even if it means giving up their life. And the passage that you have in that is Exodus. And this is Moses wanting to go ahead after the golden calf thing. He realized that there was a great sin that the people had committed. And he had to go to talk to the Lord about it. And he had, I don't have anything I can give. The only thing I know that I can give is my life. And that's what he was willing to do in Exodus 32:31-32. He says, I'm willing to go ahead and do that. And the Lord's response was to that. No, thank you. That's not the time for it, but it will happen. And of course, it happened in Jesus when you had Matthew 25:36, 39, 42, and 42, where he's talking about that. And Jesus is in the garden there, knowing that he's going to go ahead and be arrested. And he talks to the Lord, talks to the Father, and says, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, not as my will, but as your will. And of course, he got the will of the Father is to go. And he says, okay, if that's what we need to do, that's what I'll do. And of course, he went ahead and did that and went to the cross. So you have that incredible difference there with regards to the behavior of on the C continuum, the I continuum, the S continuum, the D continuum. It's just so different But what is important to understand, it was right for the situation. Now, what you have to do is the conclusion of Jesus' behavior is that what I'm trying to say to you is that the behavior was always different, but he was very, very effective in meeting the needs, whatever the situation called for. With the Father, he was always supportive. With the demons, he's always very much in control. He always chose the correct style, and he always showed balance, and he showed a leadership model of knowing how to love one another. But it gets even harder. And the most difficult situation to go ahead and do is to go ahead and have a given situation, but having to go ahead and respond differently to different peoples in that same situation. And the best case study that we have is the sisters in the death of Lazarus. Martha was a high D, and she was very, very task-driven, and Mary was very high S and very feeling-driven. But you had a situation where Lazarus, the brother, went ahead and was sick, and he died. And he was put in the grave, and he was put in there for 4 days. And it's significant about 4 days because traditionally within that culture, if you were in the grave for 4 days, you were really dead. I mean, there was no chance of anything different. It was really dead. And at that point, Jesus went ahead and came to where Mary and Martha was. By the way, Mary and Martha had gone ahead and asked him to come, and he just chose to go ahead and stay where he was until they put Lazarus in the tomb, and then he came to where they were. And Martha, being Martha, the high D, she went ahead and heard that Jesus was there, and she went out to meet him. Now, in that culture, it was not okay for a woman to go out in the street and address a man. But Mary, Martha the high D, said that, you know, that rule doesn't apply to me. And she decided to go ahead and meet Jesus in the street. But it says, but Mary remained seated in the house, the high S. And then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus responded to her with a response that says, do you know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day? Your brother will rise again. And Martha said, I know that he will rise, but it's at the last day. And Jesus says, no, I am the resurrection of life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And so Jesus was not offended by what Martha did. In fact, what he did is he went right after her and he says, don't you understand that I can do a task right now, that I can go ahead and do this? And she says, well, I guess you can. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I guess you are. So he responded to her with an action plan involved in a task. And Martha was satisfied with what he said. So she went back into the house and she said, To Mary, the master is calling for you. Now you understand that when she went, when Mary heard this, she now had permission to go out on the street, which she did. And as soon as she heard this, she quickly went out to where Jesus was. But what's important about the passage is when you look at it, Mary came to Jesus where she saw him, and she fell at his feet and told him, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. Now, the words were the same, but the body language was totally different. It was totally S, totally submissive and falling at Jesus' feet. So it required a very, very different response. And the response was that when he heard her crying, he was deeply angry in his spirit and deeply moved, but where he was, But he wept with Mary. And the point is, both sisters made the same statement, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. But his answer was totally different. To Martha, there was an action plan. To Mary, there was empathy and compassion. And my point is, both were the correct responses based on his unique behavioral styles. And finally, what we've got here is the conclusion. As I've gone through this, and I try to answer that as best I can, is that either the recorded account of his behavior in these various different passages that I have was flawed or a lie because it showed balanced style without a weakness, or Jesus had to be God. And that is my conclusion. He had to be God. He was perfect in any way. Every time I study him, I'm just awed by his ability to go ahead and respond to the need of this person, to understand the need and try as best he can to go ahead and meet that need. What I'm trying to tell you here is that in this PowerPoint, I also have a way in which you can go ahead and present the gospel. And I have in this my particular profile and my profile of Linda. And to say, if a couple is going to go ahead and have an interdependent relationship, there's got to be a relationship to Christ, and the point of that, if both people have that, there's an indwelling the Holy Spirit. That's the only thing that is common to Linda and I. Linda's a high I, I'm a high S. We have nothing in common behaviorally, but we have the same Holy Spirit. And because of that, we have a relationship with the Father. And because of that relationship with the Father, through Christ and the Holy Spirit, we can create this natural difference to complement and balance. Linda and I are so incredibly different. We never agree on anything the first time we talk about it. But because we know each other, we know how to go ahead and stop arguing and go ahead and talk to the Father. Through what would he have us do? And what invariably happens to us is that we come to a conclusion that we would not have come through had we not had the disagreement. But because we depend upon God and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can come to that conclusion that would be his plan and not our plan. So that's what I have with this presentation. And you can go ahead and change these PowerPoint to put your profile in there and your spouse's profile and whatever, and present the gospel. So that's what I go ahead and do and use this particular presentation. And I will definitely go ahead and send this to Rich. And you are welcome to use it any way that you can. But I'm telling you, you are going to have this question. And I want you to be comfortable in being able to answer this question using that Philippians passage as a starter and going ahead and presenting the gospel using the intensity index and these 8 case studies. And, of course, ending with the best case study was Mary and Martha, to go ahead and see how Jesus was. And so I hope that I've gone ahead and explained this to you. I apologize for the fact that I can't see your faces. I wish I could, but I tell you this, I hope that as we end this, that you can go ahead and have some questions for me. But right now, I'm done, and thank you for listening.
Well, thank you, Ken. I think I've heard you present this at least several dozen times, and I never tire of it. I'm always fascinated by Jesus' incredible example. I was thinking, Ken, as you were talking, and hope, folks, I do hope you'll unmute and ask questions and make comments here in a minute. But, Ken, I've had the privilege of working with several companies on DISC training and DISC models and doing some video for people and trying to figure out a way to show one individual who's able to adapt to all the styles. And just a quick example, we worked here with a company where we did a meeting and we showed the leader of the meeting really struggling because she had a DISC in her group of 5. And of course they were in conflict in the meeting and things weren't going well. Well, in the video, of course, we can stop action and then have her meet individually with each individual. And so she could perfectly adapt to the D, the I, the S, and the C, only because between shots, we would give her all kind of coaching. Here's how you talk to this D. Here's how you talk to this I. And I just think about that is that none of us has this incredible ability that Jesus had without a lot of coaching and a lot of help. And so this is just such a wonderful, wonderful example of that. So chime in, everybody. Comments, questions.
This is Barbara, and thank you so much, Ken. I just loved hearing about all of the examples of the high and low styles that Jesus portrayed. And of course, he would be the only person who could do all of that. That was just awesome. So thank you. I also wanted to share one insight from Jewish culture that relates to the Martha and Mary story. And that is, you had said that Martha went out to meet him, which was not done in that culture, but specifically
right.
It would not have been done at that time because their brother had died. And so in Jewish culture in that day, in the first century, as well as even today in observant Orthodox Jewish families, when a family member dies, they do something that's called sitting Shiva, which means for 7 days you stay in your home. You do not go out of the house. People can come to you and bring food and visit, but the family does not leave the house. That's their time of mourning. So that would be another reason why they would not have gone out of the house during that time.
Wow, that is incredible. I did not know that story. Barbara, that I appreciate you joining and sharing that. I want to just comment on one other thing too, and that is the other page that is probably the most very incredibly important page is page 24 of the biblical disc, and that gives you that the three R's there, and there are case studies on how to do with the D, I, S, and C, and they're biblical case studies that we go. As the dominant style, how to respond, relate, and reinforce, is the Acts 9 case study of how to deal with the D through Jesus meeting the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. The I case study is with John 21 and with Peter and Jesus. So you really the three R's that are listed, how to respond, relate, and are found in those case studies, and that's what we try to in the videos that we have, and what I've tried to go ahead and do is show where that happens. And with regard to the S, it's, of course, that's Abraham and Genesis 12 to 20, and to show the patience of the Lord on how he dealt with Abraham, and then, of course, Moses with Exodus 3 and 4 with the high C. So if I can highlight, any pages within the biblical disc to give you that connection to the scripture, it would be those three pages, 32, 33, and 24. So I just really encourage you to go ahead and become masters of understanding what the information is in those three pages. Do we have any other question out there?
Ken, this is Barbara. Thanks so much for talking about the Mary and Martha story. I love that story because I think it shows so beautifully exactly why we have a biblical disc assessment. And that's all about teaching others to lead, love, and live like Jesus. But I was wondering if you'd talk a little bit about that finisher style, that Martha style. Well, we know she's a high D. She actually falls in the high S category because both her D and her S are above the line, as is Nehemiah and Joseph. Wondering if you would give the group a little insight about that behavioral pattern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just love that style, and it's a very very unique one. You don't see it very often, but when you have that, you have that caring of family with the S, and but the D as far as being able to go ahead and get things done. And with Martha, she, when you see that particular style, they're incredibly good administrative people. They just get things done. If I were to come up with a love language, it would be acts of service. I mean, they really are just, what can I do to go ahead and make your situation better? And the story of Martha and what we know about Martha was that, she owned the home, which is very unusual in that culture that she would own the home. But she also had that gift of hospitality to go ahead and make sure that things were taken care of. And, of course, that's where she got a little crosswise with Mary, because when Jesus showed up, she was going to, you know, go ahead and make it just special, and just Mary wasn't doing anything. And so she got a little irritated at that. But they're incredible administrators. And, of course, you see that in Nehemiah, too. I mean, you just see that. And, of course, Joseph, too. And they were just incredibly gifted at understanding needs and going ahead and having an action plan and being able to make what I call functional decisions, not perfect decisions. And they were very functional in their action plans to make sure that the immediate needs were met. And they're very good about logistical things. They understand logistically what they need in order to go ahead and get a final, a solid type of conclusion to their action plan. And of course, there isn't a better case study, in my opinion, than Nehemiah and how he went ahead and rebuilt the wall and what he went through and how he went ahead and did that. And so I am very, very positive about that style. And when I see it, I just say, wow, I need that person on my team. And I happen to have a granddaughter who's got that style, and I just love her. And she made one particular statement. She said to the family one time, she says, my blouse and my shoes will never match, and I don't care. And that's meant to be humorous, but they're not into fluff, and they're not into fluff. They just get it done. And so you just have to smile a little bit. So I don't know if I answered your question, Barbara, but I just love that style.
It was good, Ken, because I know there are those two behavioral styles that kind of have those two behavioral traits that are in conflict with each other, and that's the D and the S,
yeah,
and the I and the,
yeah,
C, and that sometimes, yeah, there's some intrapersonal conflict because of those two driving,
yeah,
forces within us that are a little bit opposite of one another. So thank you.
Yeah, they. I say there is a degree of incongruence with those styles. There's that conflict. I think it's very well said. But I also interject the idea of incongruence, which is normal. When you say, well, if it's incongruent, how could it be normal? You know, and I said, I'm just telling you, it's normal. You know, and that's what makes their style so unique and the talent so unique. And you can't really appreciate it until you understand the incongruency and know what it means from a positive standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Anyone else want to have a comment or question, please, for Ken?
Okay. All right.
Ken, I've always loved and appreciated the way you have emphasized the colors and what that brings to the biblical disc. And I wonder if you'd,
yeah,
say a word about that, because that is such a great insight that I don't think we always get. It took me three or four,
yeah,
times here to talk about that. Talk a little about,
yeah,
that.
Well, what is important that I'm trying to communicate, Rich, and I appreciate your question, is that the low styles are as important to understand as the high styles. And there's some connection by using the colors to what that looks like. In other words, if you have a high D, the color is red. If you have a low S, the color is red. So when you have a plotting point on high D and low S, you are an incredibly aggressive person to get things done. And I welcome that, because I don't have that. I am just the opposite of that. And I gravitate very much to the dominant styles when I need a task done. I just love working with them. The challenge that you have is, you know, how do you deal with the control issue? That's another story. But when I want to talk about the high I. The high I is a green in color, or yellow in color, and the low C is yellow. When you have that combination, the thing that I celebrate with that is that the high I, low C has an instinctive problem-solving gift that is unique. And I need that skill in my life, because I'm so logical. I'm high C, and low I. And so I'm a very logical thinker. But I really need that high I, low C to get that instinctive insight into what's going on here so I can put the logic together. So that's how I go ahead and use that. And of course, the with regard to the S, where that particular style is connected to the low D. And when you get that, you've got that follow through. The giftedness of that combination, those two plotting points, is the follow through. They don't start well, but boy, do they finish well, and they really do well in finishing. With regard to the high C, you've got the high C and the low I. And of course, that was Moses, and you have somebody that is incredibly gifted at accuracy and details. Why would you not pick somebody like that to record the law? And God knew that. The thing that's so important to understand is God knows all this stuff, and he puts people into positions where he can use the natural talent that they have, and there was not anybody better than Moses. Of course, he didn't think he could, but God knew it, and of course, the way in which he encouraged him to come along, he did a wonderful job. So it is the combination of the colors that give you that insight is that the uniqueness of the style and the talent that's there. And you cannot just emphasize the high style. You have to go in and understand the low style. Rich, did I answer your question?
Fabulous.
I hope I did.
Thank you. That's wonderful. And the other quick insight, Ken, I've learned from you, when there's a color missing, if we look at our own graphs, that's typically where our blind spots come in.
Oh, thank you for saying that. I would have missed that, and it's very, very important. And anytime I do a presentation, I like to go ahead and make name tags, and those name tags are available on the Oasis account, I hope. If it's not, we'll make that available where you can do that. And when people plot their styles, and they I always ask the question, what color are you missing? And it's important to understand that's your blind spot. And in premarital counseling, it's so oftentimes opposites attract. And then I try to give that encouragement. That's the first aha that they get. It says, that person that you selected, I'm telling you, they have the potential to complete you. And you have blind spots, and that's the completion. So thank you, Rich, for pointing that out. That's absolutely true. And it's a very important point that you made.
Are there any final questions or comments for Ken? Well,
I will do this, Barbara. I will send you that PowerPoint to you, and
yes,
so you can put it on the.
I will. Thank you for that, Ken. Also, I just want to say a thank you to Barbara Miner for sharing a little bit more about Martha for us. Barbara often brings to our calls just a greater understanding of the Jewish culture, both today and in our historical perspective. And just to hear that about Martha really gives us a greater context of how that was a very powerful moment for them at that time. So thank you, Barbara.
Well, my pleasure. I'm so thankful that the Lord has given me the upbringing and the insight to be able to share those things.
Ken, the final thing before Barbara prays and sends us off, I know you've talked about this. My understanding of the definition of love, the literal definition, would you share that?
The literal definition of love, agape love, is to be able to go ahead and meet needs, be a student of understanding and defining needs and having a strategy to go ahead and meet those needs. That's as simple as you can go ahead and make it. And that's what makes the DISC model of behavior so important, is it defines needs. It is a tool to go ahead and understand and become a student of people's needs, and giving you a strategy to go ahead and do that. And our Lord is saying, and when he was going to the cross, the last thing he said, this is my commandment to you, which is not optional, is you're to love one another. And that love is to go ahead and understand needs and meeting needs. And this defines needs. That's what it does.
Thank you. That's our task for today, everyone. So wonderful to have you on the call. Barbara, if you want to send us off.
Yeah, I'll just say a quick announcement that this is our last call of the spring. We take the summer off with our practitioner calls. So through the month of the summer, we don't schedule them. But there's just a plethora of calls on the Oasis from past practitioner digging deeper into calls that we have. So if you're wanting to go back and listen to those, we just encourage you to do that. So that will be available. And the recording for this call will be coming out shortly. So thank you, Kim. Thank you for being with us. And let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you so much strength. We give you so much thanks for all the blessings you give us. And today we thank you for the gifts of life and strength and health and how you continue to pour down your love and your grace and your mercy on us. And for that, Lord, we are so grateful. And today, Lord, I pray that you go with each of us, continue to draw us closer to you, help us to become better students so that we can become more like you in meeting the needs of those that we enter into in each and every day, our family, our friends, even those strangers that we meet in airports, in grocery stores, everywhere, that we become the hands and feet of Jesus to them. And so, Father, thanks again for this time today. We love you. We ask you to continue to guide us. And now go with us today. Be with us. And we ask this all in your precious name. Jesus, thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, everybody. We're going to stop the recording. Thanks for joining us. We will talk with you.
Thank you. This was fabulous.
Thank
Bye,
you.
Everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, guys.